capacity, particularly at the rural level, the community level, and use available structures, available chiefdom authority structures, governmental structures, to deploy resources and to implement what are strategies that are going to correct this and contain this outbreak now and in the long term. But I just had, so that's context, and again, forgive me for being so long-winded, but I wanted to ask Mr. Knight, in that the beginnings of this outbreak were situated very close to some pretty exciting mineral deposits, namely Simandou in the southeastern Guinea side. That geologic trend extends into the Liberia side as well. And when we talk about long-term strengthening of health systems and we look to the international donor communities, we can as well look to, I think, the private sector, particularly the mining community and other extractive sectors, agriculture sector potentially, but particularly mining sector, not perhaps for some type of, as you described, Paul, Ebola bond, but perhaps an Ebola royalty that's directed specifically toward financing, perhaps in partnership with international communities, international government donations, but financing healthcare systems, healthcare infrastructure like hospitals, modern hospitals that are needed in these rural areas. So is that a part of the thinking among the private sector mobilization group, which I think is fantastic? I'd love to speak to you more about that. But is that a part of the thinking, ways in which commercially, financially, the private sector can support long-term healthcare system strengthening?
I think sort of yes. I sort of, the prefix sort of was, you know, we already have quite, you know, to open a mine in that type of region, you know, you have to sign MDAs and you have royalties already, you know, and there's a lot of debate about how those royalties are spent and how much say we have over those royalties. And also we have the more conventional CR budget and community engagement. And I think what I'm sort of taking as a professional CR person is this balance between doing the CR events, which really help your company look good, versus the CR engagements that region particularly needs. So I think there's a really interesting conversation to be had there. I think there's a very interesting conversation to be had about collaboration with other companies, actually sharing some of these investments. And I think there's a very interesting conversation to have about MDAs, those sorts of royalty agreements we have to have, and how we use some of those resources and how much say and influence we have over that. So I think there will be a resistance to something as blunt as a Ebola bond over and above what we currently do. But I think the spirit of what you're saying, I think that there is a very interesting conversation to be had along the spirit of exactly what you're saying, which is what I was trying to say, is the way we work in these countries should change as a result of this. Yeah, we just got to work out what that is. Yeah.
Seat 1110, and I just want to say thank you again to Jeffrey and Alan for adding that. After the Haiti earthquake, it was very difficult and perhaps ultimately not successful, our efforts to turn some of the emergency assistentialism towards long-term capacity building and building institutions. And, you know, having been part of a group that built a major teaching center in central Haiti, a modern hospital, which cost $21 million, which is not a lot for a 200,000 square foot modern medical center, the largest solar-powered hospital in the developing world. If we had had more partners, corporate partners, we had a lot of corporate donors, but, you know, and more of those resources turned, this is the largest training center for Haitian professionals now, for doctors, nurses, and it's less than 5 years after the earthquake, and the largest employer in the region, and could pull in other developments. I just think that's the kind of thinking that Jeffrey is arguing that we pursue. Seat 1110. That seems so strange to call a person by a number. And then I think we're closing. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes. Yes, I'm Queen Mother Dr. Deloise Blakely. I ask that the women stand from Africa. There is 4.3 million Africans national living in the United States. And a human resource skill bank does exist here. I first, we would like to thank Samantha Power, representing President Barack Obama in the United States, of going to the region of Africa. We was very moved and very pleased that that happened, going to Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. And our prayers go out to her and her family, meeting her dad. What I have with me here is African women living in the United States, and Mandenko and other African women wanted to take a leadership here. And what they have begun to do is organize, mobilize, and raising money. The concern they have, Mr. Chairman, is this. How do we, as civil society, come in the global network with our African network in the United States and the diaspora? There is a skill bank we need to harvest from all spheres of learning and talent. How do we bring that into the space of helping to resolve the problem of Ebola back at the continent, Mother Africa? And I would like to thank you as the community mayor of Harlem and the ambassador of goodwill to Africa. I would like to thank you.
Thank you very much, the Queen Mother, Dr. Blakely. And I just want to close my part here by paying tribute to those of you standing. As I mentioned, the bulk of caregiving has been not from health professionals, but from families, and I can only imagine how anxious the diaspora has been about what is happening there, and how I can imagine, actually, not because I've worked in Haiti for 30 years, and I would just add on that I hope is an optimistic note in that addressing the infrastructure deficit, to use World Bank terms, that is, the lack of, let's just say, a modern teaching hospital in the kind of area that Jeffrey Wright is talking about, addressing that by putting that in place through whatever partnerships are necessary, it was also the chance to recruit from the diaspora real talent, the Haitian diaspora, the chief of surgery in Central Haiti, 20 years at Harlem Hospital, a Haitian American, a Haitian, the chief of nursing, Haitian woman but raised here in the United States, you know, wanted to go back and serve, the chief of medicine, 15 years in France, and so just making that link between build people a platform to serve. That doesn't mean, of course, that you would do what these three professionals did and go back. There are lots of different ways to bring civil society in, as you've said, Queen Mother. And I think we all have a lot to learn. Just to pick up on Alan's point, if we don't learn from this assault on health and well-being, not the first one and not the last, then shame on us. And that goes beyond just thinking about vaccines and new therapeutics, but also how to engage resources such as those you've described. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President,
well,
I hereby offer up my resignation as chairman for the day.
Resignation accepted. Thank you. No, thank you very much. I want to extend my sincere gratitude to you, Dr. Farmer, and the panelists and discussants for enriching the discussion that we had on the economic and social impact of the outbreak of Ebola. And today's special meeting illustrates how we, the international community, government, civil society, and the business sector can come together to identify solutions for a comprehensive and coordinated multi-sectoral response to the virus. Now, it's not easy to make a summary of this meeting. It was full of information, positive, also sad, full of emotions. I will nevertheless try And I hope you are somewhat satisfied then with my wrapping up. And but before I do so, I really have to thank everyone to have been so kind and stay here in the room, even without translation. And but that shows the dedication to the cause, to the topic. And really, thank you very much for this. As we begin to see a somewhat more optimistic scenario with new cases on decline in numbers, we must look towards what must be done to prevent another widespread outbreak of the virus and building the resilience of the affected communities and countries. Amidst these efforts, the African Union's decision on the establishment of an African Center for Disease Control and Prevention stands to be commended. The proposed African CDC could be instrumental in assisting the region in reducing their communicable disease burden, addressing complex health challenges, and responding to emergency situations. Today we also heard calls in support for debt relief for the worst affected countries to help promote early recovery. That relief could help affected countries invest in systems strengthening to increase their resilience to future health and other development-related emergencies. As we continue our efforts to stop the Ebola outbreak, it will be critical to link the emergency response to Ebola to efforts to strengthen national public systems, as we also had heard today from the Minister of Sierra Leone. Strengthening the public health systems of the affected countries through increased investments and effective capacity building should be and must be one of our priorities. The Ebola outbreak has not only clearly shown that such epidemics do not respect any borders, but also that there are much larger cross-sectoral issues involved. Until new flexible mechanisms are set up to deal with the multidimensional nature of such crises, we, the international community, must continue to provide the much-needed financial and technical assistance required by the affected countries for their immediate response and long-term recovery. All stakeholders, including governments, the United Nations system, international organizations, and civil society actors, must continue to work together towards an integrated and coordinated response to the threat to sustainable development, which the Ebola outbreak definitely represents. The United Nations system may consider a comprehensive study on the economic and social impact of the Ebola outbreak, building on the work being done by the Economic Commission for Africa, the World Bank, and the United Nations Development Programme, to be submitted to the Council. Member States may also consider to submit additional ideas and proposals for further action. The invaluable discussions and recommendations which emerged from today's meeting will be compiled into a President's summary and made available on the ECOSOC website shortly. I also have to say that, and I hope we will also put that in the President's summary, that we also have some positive sides, as we heard today. We speak of Ebola heroes and of Ebola conquerors. And I do think that this positive note and this fact should also be duly reflected. And before closing, I would like to express special thanks to Dr. Chan of WHO and the special envoy, Dr. David Nabarro, for the leadership. Dr. Paul Farmer, your insights on how we could increase the impact of our support to the affected countries should be kept in the forefront of our thoughts. And I would also like, as the colleague of Finland has already done, thank the Secretariat, the ECOSOC Secretariat, especially also my dear colleague Leslie, who has been working very, very hard to prepare this meeting, and really very hard, and with all your, so to say, emotions and all your really great emphasis that you put behind your work today. So thank you very much. And so I will close this and wish you all well in the coming days. Thank you very much.